Good morning to everyone. It is a blessing to be back here in Florida on this beautiful, sunshiny, brisk Sunday morning.
Amen.
It's a blessing to be here at the Calvary Baptist Church in Bonifay, Florida. See, I've learned how to say that word. The past year, I've tried to practice that. Like it. Say it correctly. But it is a blessing to see you in the service this morning. I appreciate all the kindness of the church and the people welcoming us and preparing such a suitable place for us to camp during this time of meeting.
Thank God.
And then for the wonderful meal last night with the Murphys. And then back for the Sunday school hour this morning. My, you should have been there to hear a good message. Some of us have already been in church. In the Sunday school hour, a good Bible message. Very needful and very much appreciated. It's a blessing to see visitors that have come to be a part of the meeting today from various places.
Yes, sir.
And that's always a blessing. I try to maintain a record I have for many years of places I have gone and people that I have met, sermons that I have preached, where they were preached, and once in a while there is a little additional note. And if there's an additional note in that log book, it'll have to do with something special that occurred during that meeting. I'm contemplating putting together a little bit of writing. Somebody told me years ago, don't ever write till you get old. And I've not written anything as far as what the public eye can read yet. I'm waiting till I get old. But I've been thinking about it. I want to think about and write some about just a simple little document, revivals that I remember.
Yes,
and I'm thinking about just several places scattered across the country. If I live till September of this coming year, I will have been preaching 50 years.
Amen.
And I've seen a lot of people. I've been in a lot of places.
Amen.
And I've met a lot of folks that's dear to my heart. And I have some memories. I might be a help to somebody.
Yes.
Much younger than I. I've decided if we don't write some of these things down, when we go, they'll be forgotten.
Yeah, right. That's right.
The people who have known them won't be around to tell them.
That's true.
Exactly.
The printed page still is a survivor.
Amen. Right.
It really is.
Amen.
I realize digital has just about swallowed the printed page up in a lot of circles, but the printed page is still a survivor.
Amen.
So we might do that. Who knows?
Yes. Good.
I guess that's an unusual lead-in for Sunday morning. But I'm going to preach, the Lord willing, in this meeting a single message. I'm just going to preach one message. It's going to take me all week to do it.
Amen.
But I'm going to preach one message in this meeting. Someone asked me some time back, they said, have you always done a lot of revivals? I said, well, a few. Miss Sue and I, this is my wife Sue. I married a girl named Sue. Sue and I were married on July the 25th, 1969. July the 25th was on a Friday afternoon. I was already a preacher. I'd been a preaching less than a year at that time. But I began preaching my first revival meeting on July the 27th.
Wow.
2 days later.
Wow.
On a Sunday morning. And surprisingly, from time to time, they still ask me to come back to that first church. That first church where I did my first revival meeting. I had no idea at that point revival would be a big part of my life. I was pastoring a small congregation in another place at that time. Never thought about it, never crossed my mind revival would be such a big part. But I did that revival that began on Sunday after we were married on Friday. And before that year was over, I had already done 13
wow.
revival meetings. And that is the least number that I have done. The least number. Some years as high as 48. But the journey isn't as long as it has been. I'm going to preach on revival. I'm going to preach on revival all the week.
Amen. Amen.
And I'm very knowledgeable of the fact. About 3-4 years ago, I did a series from the book of Jonah over at the Glendale Baptist Church. Some of you here remember that series. But I'm going to take a different approach this week. I'm going to just preach on the subject, the revival in Nineveh. I'm not going to attempt to read or to go verse by verse. That's my favorite way of preaching, but I'm going to read from the book of Jonah, so you can be turning there. I'll read about 3 verses, I think, this morning, and we'll begin to look at what happened in this ancient city called Nineveh. Now, I had a preacher in Alabama, and that's close by. Preacher in Alabama a few years ago say to me, when he visited in a service, I was preaching there, he said, we no longer have revivals in our church. And I'm from Mississippi. I said, well, may I ask a question? He said, sure. I said, well, why? Why don't you have revivals in your church? He said, they do not work. They do not work. I said, well, I leaned up a little closer to him and kind of sniffed a little. I said, perhaps you believe in taking a bath. He said, well, sure, I believe in taking a bath. Am I offensive? I said, no, you're not. I said, I have a question for you. Do they work? I hope you can figure that out. Do they work?
Oh, yeah.
The answer is yes, but only temporarily.
That's right.
That's it.
You see, some of us have the wrong idea about revival anyway. We think it's something that is permanent. It's going to just keep on being like that.
Mm-hmm.
No. Every revival that you ever study about has been temporary.
That's right. That's right.
Some have lasted longer than others.
That's right.
But they've all temporary. Hopefully we will experience revival.
Amen.
Amen.
But to expect or to think it's going to be this way on and on forever and ever and ever is to be untruthful, unrealistic.
Yeah, right.
A bath doesn't last forever and ever, and I have met some people that have tried it out. And it's very easy to discern. But they're trying it out.
It is.
Taking a bath doesn't last forever. But I tell you what it'll do. It'll refresh you.
Yeah.
Amen.
You'll feel a lot better.
Amen.
I mean, even if you're sick or something's wrong, you'll feel a lot better. There's something about cleansing the outside that makes us be refreshed.
Amen. Right.
I'm going to tell you something else in there. It'll sure be a blessing to the people that have to live with you.
Yeah.
Hey!
Yeah.
It'll be a blessing to the town of Bonifay and the area of Bonifay, Florida, if this church has revival.
Amen. Amen.
Be refreshing to you. Be a blessing to them.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
They might even pick up on it.
Amen.
Something usual happened over there.
That's right.
Those people have had revival.
Amen.
Now, we are told that there is value to the washing of the Word of God.
Amen.
So what we're going to do, the Lord willing, is just open the Word of God, as it were, and jump into it and get a good bath.
Amen.
Amen.
That's it.
Amen.
Good.
It'll help us.
Amen.
And it'll be a blessing to our neighbors. I want to read Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Then I want to read verse 11 of chapter 4. And I have a few things I want to say about the revival in Nineveh.
Amen.
Now, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Chapter 4, verse 11, God is again talking to Jonah. And he says, and should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle. So I've read the beginning and the ending of the account we have in the book called Jonah of the revival that occurred in ancient Nineveh. I would say this is a revival to remember.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Now, Jonah is one of 12 in the Old Testament that are classified for convenience as minor prophets. The word minor or the word major has nothing to do with the importance of the message.
That's right.
Any message from God is important.
Yes, sir.
Just like any verse in the Word of God is important.
Right.
Nothing is there to fill up space.
Yeah.
It is there purposefully, helpfully, and there's something to be understood about. Now, if you look on a modern map today, you will not find on a modern map a place called Nineveh. Not there. The ruins of the ancient city called Nineveh are located on the eastern side of the Tigris River in the ancient land that we're very familiar with of Iraq. In fact, on the west side of the river from the ancient ruins of Nineveh lies a city that we have heard much about in recent times and continue to hear about. They pronounce it a little different than we do. They call it the city of Mosul. We call it Mosul.
Yeah.
We put the accent on a different syllable.
Yeah.
Now, the ancient city of Nineveh was or became the capital city of what is known in Bible times as the Assyrians. Empire.
Right.
There was a very ruthless man named Sennacherib who would come to the headship of that empire. And if you study secular history, you will discover that the Assyrian Empire was a merciless, godless, terrible, unbelievably terrible, wicked group of people.
Amen. Right.
They had no respect for God, and as a result, no respect for man. The two things go together.
Yeah, that's right.
When a society loses respect for God, they have already lost their respect for man.
Amen. That's right.
At the particular time that Jonah is sent to Nineveh, the Assyrian Empire is gaining power in the world, and they definitely have the people of God, Israel. They have them in their sight.
Yes. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So I want you to understand something. When God said to Jonah, go to Nineveh, he is sending him to his most feared enemy.
Amen.
Right.
Yes, sir.
How bad were they? Oh, if they caught you, they didn't mind literally skinning you alive and hanging your skin on the wall and nailing it on the wall along with your head on a post where other people could see what they were capable of doing. Now there are atrocities on top of atrocities that these people were capable of and glad to inflict upon people. I'm telling you a little bit about it, just a sampling about it, but we should not be at all surprised that what we see in that part of the world when it comes to the way human life is disregarded.
Amen. That's it.
It's not a new trade they have learned recently.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now what I want to talk about for the remainder of my time this morning, and I am going to quit preaching just before you quit listening. I want to preach on the subject, the significance of Nineveh. The significance of Nineveh. Now I call attention to something, if you will, in chapter 1, verse number 2. There is somewhat of a description given of Nineveh. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. Look in chapter 3 and verse number 2. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. Chapter 4, verse 11, which we've already read. Should not I spare Nineveh, that great city? I think about four times in four chapters the adjective great is used. Why is Nineveh significant? It is a great city.
Right.
Now let's discuss a little bit about its greatness. If you look in chapter 3, verse number 3, there is a statement as to its physical properties. Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. Now you have to ask some questions about that. 3 days' journey. To whom and by what means?
Yeah.
He's definitely not talking about it being 3 days' journey from where Jonah lives to where Nineveh is located. That won't work. Jonah lives in a place called Gath-hepher. Now Jonah took the long route.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
He did. All of you know that story. He didn't go a straight line from where he lived to where God told him to go. He went the long way around. That might be the way some of you is trying to go this morning.
Yeah.
Go the long way. You know where God wants you, but you're going the long way around to get there. But now, what is he talking about? 3 days' journey. Well, Jonah is a Jew. A day's journey to a Jew was 20 miles.
Amen.
3 times 20 is what in Florida? What is it?
60.
And that presents another problem, don't it? Is he talking about circumference? That is, going around and around the city? Or is he talking about diameter, going across the city? It does matter.
Oh yeah,
yes, sir.
Well, we have a hint. I'm going to just read it. Verse 4, Jonah chapter 3, verse 4. And Jonah began to enter, what's the next word please? Into the city of Nineveh. Now how deep into the city did he begin to enter? A day's journey. I'm going to ask a deep question here. It's a real deep question. I'm going to see who can get it. How far can you walk into the woods? Sharp thinker over here. Only halfway, because when you reach that point, you're coming out. So the implication of the text is Nineveh is a city of 3 days' journey, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. So the measurements or the physical properties described here must be diameter, not circumference.
Right.
So he's 20 miles deep into the city and he begins to preach.
Amen.
Now, I'll get to what he preached a little later. But now, think about not only the physical properties as laid out in the proportions and dimensions that are given, but think about it, the present population of the ancient city when Jonah went there.
Yeah.
That's chapter 4, verse 11 again. He said, now Nineveh wasn't a great city, wherein are, what's the next two words? More than.
Yeah.
That tells you this is not a concrete figure. This is an approximate figure. More than 6,000 persons. Not only is this an approximate number, but this is a specific category. This is not a total census. This is a specific category. 64,000. Somebody tell me how many that is in Florida. 120,000 people in this bracket. What bracket? That cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand.
Yes.
I was in Atlanta a few weeks ago. I think I met some people like that. But anyway, the idea is here is a group of people that are not of discernment age.
Yes.
I keep pointing Brother Murphy because that's what the lesson was about in Sunday school. You should have heard it. But here's a group of people who cannot discern. Now, what are we to think? We are to think these were small children.
Yes. Yes.
Now, all the way through the Bible, all the way through the Bible, discernment is a very key and important matter. God deals with people who can discern differently than He deals with people who cannot discern.
That's right. That's true. That's true.
And God deals with people who know and don't do better a lot harder than He does just with people that know.
Amen.
Right so.
Think about that. That's a challenge for us to live up to what we know and what we understand. Because we are responsible to live up to what we know, what we understand.
That's it. Amen.
But foundation for that is this. If we could know and deliberately don't know, we're still responsible for what we could know, though we don't know it.
That's right.
Because we have willfully neglected the means whereby we could know.
Right. True.
That's deep.
Preacher, that's good.
Well, you think about that. You think about folks that know, honest to God. They know there's a God. They know they're going to meet God. They live all around this place. They never bother themselves to get to the house of God to hear anything about the Word of God. One day, they'll be responsible because the Word of God was available.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen.
I'm trying to arrive at some kind of guesstimation how many folks live in Nineveh. I don't know whether you've done your multiplications or not, but 120,000 multiplied by 3. Last time I checked, and it's still this way in Mississippi, it still takes a man and a woman to produce a child.
Right.
120,000 by 3. How many you got?
360,000.
There you go.
Uh-huh. 360,000. All right. Are we to conclude, 360,000, are we to conclude that these 120,000 children in this age bracket had no brothers or sisters?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
And I remind you again, the text did say more than.
Yes.
I'd say 600,000 people is a little bit bigger than Bonifay.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
A little bit larger than Bonifay.
Yes.
I think you could easily. Charles Feinberg, who I greatly respect in regard to the prophetic writings, said this statement, possibly the ancient city of Nineveh was the largest city in the world at that time.
Ah, goodness.
I'm just reading what I copied straight off of his book. Possibly the largest city in the world. What's the largest city in today's world? I haven't seen recent figures. I got no idea. But now I want you to think about this. We're talking about the significance of Nineveh just based on physical properties, based on the present population when Jonah was sent there. And I want to give you another thing to evaluate the significance of Nineveh. There's only one city mentioned in the entire Bible that is given 2 entire books to talk about.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
And it is the city called Nineveh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now there's a lot of great cities mentioned in the Bible. Rome is mentioned in the Bible.
Yeah.
Jerusalem is greatly mentioned in the Bible. Babylon is greatly mentioned in the Bible. You've got some tremendously. Athens, wildest place I've ever been in my life. Athens, tremendously large city and concentrated population. But none of those cities did God give whole books of the Bible to talk about. You see, the book of Jonah is all about Nineveh, and about 100 years later there'll be another prophet in the minor category named Nahum, and again the book of Nahum is all about Nineveh. I'm trying to impress you. This city is a significant city. And what you have recorded here is significant in the Christian heritage and in the story of the Word of God.
Amen.
Had it not been so significant, God wouldn't have given it so much attention.
That's true. Right.
So, Nineveh was a great city. I only have two more thoughts. And I'm leaving just for you. Nineveh was a Gentile city. A Gentile city. Paul, in his great thesis that we know as the book of Romans, raises the question in the book of Romans chapter 3 and verse 29. He said, is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? And he gave a resounding answer, yes, of the Gentiles also.
Amen. Right. Yes, he is. Yes, sir. Amen.
Yes, sir. Let me say just a little bit about this. Gentiles were not and are not today the focus of the covenant God made with Abram.
Right.
We were not then, we are not now. I want to make that very plain.
Right.
We are not the focus of that covenant. However, even in that covenant, we are allowed to be classified as friends. How do I say that? A part of that covenant was this. And in thy seed shall all the world, our peoples, our nations be blessed.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
I find myself in that phrase.
Amen.
Yes. No, I'm not Jewish. You may be. If so, you are the focus. But thank God, through the blessings of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sins according to the scriptures and was buried, and the third day rose again according to the scriptures and was seen of above 500 brethren at once and declared to be alive. Because of that, I am allowed spiritual blessings of that covenant.
Amen.
As a Gentile person.
Amen.
Now, I don't have the time to talk about it, but some people have embraced what is classified in our day as replacement theology, which simply teaches that the New Testament church has superseded and taken the place of Israel in that covenant. I do not embrace that. I do not find that justifiable in the passages in the book of Romans, chapters 9, 10, and 11.
Yeah. That's it.
the set aside of the Jew is temporary.
Yeah. Amen.
That's right.
There's coming a day when God will fulfill every jot and every tittle of that covenant that He made to Israel, and He will do so in a physical and a spiritual way.
Amen.
He's already done a lot of it in a physical way.
Yes,
but there's coming a day on down after the church age, on down through the realms of time, there's going to be a tremendous revival in this world. But it's not going to be among Gentile people who have decided they don't want God in their life. It's going to be a revival in the nation of Israel that has been in blindness and hardness of heart and refused to receive the Messiah when He came. But oh, when He comes back again and stands on the Mount of Olives and they behold Him and they say, "Where did you get these scars in your hand?" He's going to say, "I was wounded in the house of my friends." And the Bible says a fountain will be open for sin and for uncleanness.
Amen.
And a nation will be born in a day.
Yeah. Amen.
That's spiritual terminology.
Yeah.
That's revival.
That's
amen.
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 It's coming.
And it lies ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Got to get to my last point about the theater. Nineveh was not only a great city, Nineveh was a Gentile city, but Nineveh was a godless city.
Oh, yeah.
I want to clarify that term. I do not mean they did not have gods of some kind.
That's right.
Every group of humanity that's ever been discovered that we know anything about had gods of some kind.
Yeah, that's right.
But they had absolutely no knowledge of the God of Israel. They had no knowledge of the true and living God as He is classified. As far as I know, they've never heard a preacher until Jonah arrived.
Amen.
I've never found anybody to contradict that statement. Never found anywhere where a preacher had ever paid a visit. But all of a sudden, Jonah appears.
There you go.
What kind of shape he's in, I might not know. But I would think he was easily detected. Based on where he'd been, I'd say it was easy to discern somebody's in town.
Yeah.
And he immediately had attention.
That's it.
Without a megaphone, PA system, computer, iPhone, or iPad, he had attention. Nineveh was a godless city. Todd Starnes, a Mississippian, by the way, wrote the book a couple of years back called Godless America. That's a heartbreaking situation, but the Bible does say righteousness exalteth the nation.
Yes, sir.
But sin is a reproach to any people. Well, I'm going to give you my conclusion. Nineveh was significant. Nineveh was sinful. Nineveh was savable.
Yes.
Can I add something to that? So are you.
Amen. That's right.
Thank God.
How do I know? Where sin abounded,
Amen.
Grace.
Yes.
Did much more.
Yes.
About.
Amen.
How wicked was Nineveh? Bad.
Yeah.
How great is the grace of God? Bigger.
Right.
How terrible is your record before God today? Oh, it's terrible. Can I say to you, God's grace can even triumph your record.
Thank God.
Praise.
Because of what happened on the hill far away. When our blessed Lord took our sins, nailed them to the tree, bore them in his own body. God can take a mountain full of sin and bring gracious and great forgiveness.
Amen.
Salvation. Let's stand our feet, please.
Amen.
My part of the service is over. Brother Stevenson will come. Musicians will come. Please. God's dealing with your heart. Don't leave the service today without responding to his call. Your heart and life.